Welcome back to another episode of the Geek Legacy Podcast. We'd like to thank all of our listeners for joining us each and every week. We'd also like to take this opportunity to ask that you support GeekLegacy.com by clicking on any of our Amazon links before you go shopping. By doing so, we will receive a small credit for your purchase, and every little bit helps in keeping the legacy alive. This way, we may continue to bring you the latest and greatest in geek news and reviews. Thank you!
Hello, and welcome back to another episode of the Geek Legacy Podcast. This is Randy, and I am joined this evening by Justin, David, Amanda, and Jess. How's everybody doing tonight?
Awesome.
Awesome.
Fabulous.
Fantastic. You know, big stuff happened this past weekend, biggest of which, in my opinion, was Iron Man 3. And I did the midnight thing, and I got my free poster, and did IMAX 3D, and it was pretty cool. But everybody that I was there with absolutely loved it, and I just don't feel that love. I thought it was okay. I thought the dialogue was really contrived, and everything that I saw on the screen just screamed of plot device to me, and I had a hard time getting into it. I know I'm going to catch a lot of flack from you guys, so that's why I'm spewing my load right now, because I'm putting on my bulletproof vest as we speak. I'm just stalling the time.
Better.
So what do you guys think?
I think the dialogue between Tony Stark and Pepper was terrible, but I think that's just Shane Black not really being his style. He's more a buddy cop kind of movie. I think that when it was Rhodey or the kid with Tony Stark, I think it was great. But I agree with you that the Pepper dialogue was pretty weak, and that I had serious problems with the ending, which I won't spoil. So, but I reviewed it for the site, gave it a B+. Got a lot of flack saying that I was not nice enough, that it should have been an A-, and that I'm. I think one guy called me a total fucking idiot. But that's cool. That's what I do. What'd you guys
think?
Did
we really have a comment like that?
It was an email.
I know. Like, why don't these cowards put a comment on the site? So they're emailing?
Yeah.
Hiding behind their email addresses?
That's right. Comment on the site with a fake name.
Yeah, we want names, numbers, social security numbers, addresses.
Yeah, but then at least other people can, like, bash them publicly, too.
They'll be like, right. Yeah, that guy isn't. Yeah, right. Then the next comment will be like, that guy is an idiot. Justin. I'm like, what?
No.
Jared will be like, David, you are a moron.
I don't say bad stuff about people. At least not real people. I will make fun of characters, but not living human beings.
What did you think, Iron Man?
I enjoyed it. I thought that Tony Stark reminded me a lot of Martin Riggs from Lethal Weapon, like just kind of having a death wish and like kind of being crazy
with a hat.
I don't know if I'm just crazy, but I really thought that he just kept putting himself in danger without his suit on. You know what I mean? Like he just didn't want to be around anymore, and I don't know, just totally reminded me of Riggs.
That makes sense. Shane Black wrote both of them.
Yeah, no, I know. So I was like, whatever. I mean, I like Lethal Weapon, but. I was waiting for his arm to go out of his socket and knock it back into place. Yeah,
it's a meta community.
And then, like, you know, Amanda had made a comment about him not needing his suits anymore. And then, you know, the man versus the suit, but then he needed, you know, all 30 of them or whatever to.
Right.
And that was kind of another thing that bothered me was that I like to see Iron Man. I like to see Tony in the suit. I think that that's fun, and it was mostly just him.
We got to see him in 42 different suits this time.
Yeah.
Even if only for a second.
Yeah, even for a second. But, I mean, I guess it was kind of cool that he was able to go remote control style on him, but at the same time, it just kind of took it out of me.
I don't like how quickly they were getting destroyed. I mean, like, they were just flimsy little aluminum foil
suits.
Yeah,
like, how are they protecting him from dying if they can just be destroyed like that?
Exactly. And that was another thing, too, with how Guy Pearce was able to just kind of... I mean, obviously, he had evolved to a pretty high stage with that genetic stuff, but I was just kind of... I thought it was off-putting how he was able to destroy the suits so easily. I mean, he looked relatively human, and he was just tearing through them like they were tinfoil, and that kind of bothered me.
Well, and I kept thinking, too, like, as far as them using the heat to, you know, coax people out of the suit or rupture the suit or whatever, I would think that Tony Stark would make some sort of, you know, heat-resistant type of metal. I mean, I realize that's not really possible in the real world, but this is, you know, an Iron Man movie. You would think that he would make some sort of blocking.
Mark 43 is going to be the thermal suit.
Yeah. Because, I mean, it's not like he's not around explosions and stuff all the time. You would think that they would do something to... yeah.
But in the end, I enjoyed it. I liked it. There was a handful of suits that I thought were really cool. There was one that looked kind of black and had, like, these kind of horizontal stripes on it.
Yeah.
I thought it was really cool.
I thought all the suits kind of made Iron Man less... I mean, Randy's heard me complain about this a lot, but I think all the suits, like, acting, you know, autonomously, you know, it kind of made Iron Man less special in a way, if that makes any sense. Like, why do I care about Tony Stark if he's got, like, 47 buddies?
Right.
Well, I think that was kind of, like, when he meets the kid, and he's like, well, technically, I'm Iron Man, and the kid goes, well, technically. But... I think that was kind of his way of trying to deal, like, trying to take himself out of being Iron Man so he doesn't feel all this pressure by making other suits to fill in for him. But then I also think that Tony Stark's ego still gets in the way of, well, he still wants to be Iron Man because he likes all the attention.
Well, he was also obsessed with making the perfect suit so that nothing could hurt him, so that he could protect Pepper.
But then all those suits were so easily destroyed. I will agree that Pepper, I was very... Anytime that Pepper was on the screen, I was like, okay, can we move along, please? Because it just wasn't that interesting to me. I like her character, but for some reason, just not so much in this movie.
I know what happened. Their relationship used to be kind of compelling, but now... But this...
You can't give it up, ladies, or else.
Exactly, it's because they're together, so the chemistry kind of goes away.
Right, he's not trying to be cute with her.
Yeah, and I think another thing that was weird for me too was that it took place at Christmas.
Oh yeah,
and it's a summer movie. I mean, I get that it's taking place, you know, a few months after the events in New York, but it seemed weird watching a movie in May and it being a Christmas movie, right. Hearing Christmas music. I don't know, it was bizarre.
Well, then he's running around in the Christmas tree area, and all I could think of was Gremlins. But
right.
That was really weird. And there were a couple things that I won't say because of spoilers, but there were a few things that happened and just kind of threw me. And I was like, really? That's okay. But overall, I enjoyed it. I thought it was better, obviously, than the second one. I thought it was hilarious. I thought it was the funniest one of the three, but I like Shane Black, so.
It was enjoyable.
I think everybody liked it better than the second one. I barely even remember the second one. I want to say I saw it twice, but the second time I must have been coming in and out of it. So,
sad. I watched it last night. It's actually amazing how much different and worse, like, the suit and the CGI for Iron Man looks. I mean, because there's only like 2 years between Iron Man 2 and Avengers, but it's just night and day. And, like, and even Iron Man 3 looks so much better than Iron Man 2. But, like, Iron Man 1 and Iron Man 2 look almost identical. So, must have had a leap. Plus, I'm not a big fan of the Mark 7 or whatever it is in Iron Man 2 with the V, the triangle-shaped arc reactor. Yeah. Not a big fan of that. But,
drove me nuts was when he was wearing, like, the plastic suit. And it was all big and bulky on him. You know, it's like... It's like seeing an average-sized dude wearing Stormtrooper armor at a convention or something like that. And he looks chunky to be wearing it because the people that really look good in there are, like, rail thin, you know? So average dudes just can't quite pull it off. And, you know, Robert Downey Jr. is not a big guy, but that is a whole lot of armor. And you stick it on him, and it's never going to look like the CG version, which is all slim and sleek and sexy. Instead, he's all, like... I'm going to a Halloween party and a, you know.
He looks charming.
Yeah.
Yeah. I agree. It looks funny. It almost looks like a candid off camera kind of thing where it's not ready.
Right, exactly. Like, oh, that's okay. They're just gonna CGI out all the rest and just get his face.
Right? Yeah, like he's Andy Serkis doing like motion capture.
Exactly.
No, I'm with you. I agree. That's funny.
He's chunky Iron Man.
Yeah, he's a little guy.
Yeah. First Iron Man movie not to have Sam Jackson in any capacity. It's kind of sad.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, right. Forgot about him.
There was another fun... I'm not going to give anything away, but there was a fun little nugget at the end, though.
Oh, that was fine. I was like, whatever.
Right. It was.
I kind of wished it would have been before, like, the major credits. Like, after the cool comic book credits, and then that happens, and then the major credits.
Yeah, that wasn't worth waiting for.
No.
I wish that all those Easter eggs would be after the comic book credits.
Right.
It's a total waste sometimes.
Yeah.
And did you notice, like, all songs? There was, like, 12 songs listed, and 9 of them were Christmas songs.
No, I didn't.
And the other 4 were AC/DC songs?
Right. Oh, jeez.
Well, we'll go around real quick. What grade would you give it, Randy?
I'd give it like a B minus.
Amanda?
I'd say a B. I felt like the ending left me feeling like, well... that was a thing. Like, okay, what was the point of all that?
All right, Jess?
I teeter more toward B plus, but I would say probably a B.
And Justine?
I'll give it a B plus, because I ultimately I was entertained. I was smiling and laughing. I enjoyed myself.
Awesome. I agree. Plus. Go see it.
Now we're all jerks.
Done and all right, done.
Moving on.
Game of Thrones. Did you guys watch it?
Yeah.
What'd you think? I personally thought it was slow as F until there was about 15 minutes left. I was kind of bored.
I'm trying to, like, I just watched it.
Yeah, you don't remember what happened,
last
right?
Last night, and I'm like, what happened?
You remember the end, though.
Yes, you remember the end for sure.
Littlefinger's a badass.
Oh, Jesus. I knew he was, like, a crazy person, but I didn't realize how crazy.
He's awesome.
He is the best. The him and Varys at the end was pretty awesome.
Yes, sir. I didn't think they're both heroes in their own way, which is really cool.
Does anybody else think that every time Joffrey's on the screen, it looks like he's posing for something? Like,
he just did a finishing move. He had to, like, pose. Joffrey is flawless.
But, like, every time he's sitting, like, he can't just sit down like a normal person. Even when he's sitting on the throne, he's doing some sort of little, I don't know.
He's a king.
He's a king.
I guess.
That's what kings do.
I just want to smack him in his stupid little face.
So, I think he's a great king, and that he is doing wonders for the Western kingdoms.
taxes are down, food is up.
Yeah.
I am starting to feel a little bad for Sansa, and that's something that I didn't think I would ever do, but
I was fed by her tears. Oh, yeah. I'm like, yes. I know how your dad felt, you traitors.
Oh, dude, and with Littlefinger's ship sailing away. That's so awesome. It's like the perfect metaphor. It's like that ship has sailed, and like, it's like literally the ship has sailed. That's
like deuces.
She done effed up.
Mm-hmm.
Love it.
To marry the imp.
Yeah, man. Okay, so in the books, with him, when they announced that that's what's gonna happen, I remember just like being blown away. I was like, oh my god, that is. That is a page in the old FU book.
Here, have this guy. He's older than you and shorter than you, and he repulses you. He has no nose.
Yeah.
He has a nose.
Well, in the show, he does.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. It doesn't have a nose in the book.
In the book.
Oh, yeah, it gets cut off.
They should have done that.
I guess they didn't want to do the makeup for him.
Well, yeah, I like how they referenced it in the show, though. About it being overly exaggerated, his wounds.
Yeah. Yeah.
I really like Tyrion. I mean, honestly, there could be worse people that she could be forced to marry.
That's the whole point. Like, everyone thinks that he's this horrible, monstrous person, but he's actually, like, the best of the Lannisters. Like, he actually he cares about his family and wants to help them, but he also realizes that they're a bunch of, like, lying, thieving, like, horrible people. Yeah, and he's trying to do his best to, like, help the realm.
Yeah, he's legitimately trying, like, when they, you know, they attack King's Landing, he's the only one really legitimately trying to mount a defense. You know, Jamie's out doing what he's doing and being captured and whatnot. She's just hiding in the Red Keep.
That's true.
Little Imp's going to take out Bronn and Podrick and storm the shores.
Okay, I don't know. This was bothering me today when I was watching it. And what happened to the little crazy Stark brother?
Rickon?
Well, yes.
He's still just, there.
He went with the he went the other way.
Okay, because I couldn't remember for the life of me if he like got killed or what. I'm like, isn't there? Where'd he go? Because they don't reference him or anything.
Do you mean in the book or in the show?
No, in the show.
He was there last night.
Was he?
Like 2 seconds when Jojen was having his vision.
Stupid. See, dude. I apparently wasn't paying attention. Must have been on my own or something. Yeah, he's I don't care about Bronn.
He's like, you saw Bran and then you went to, you're like, oh, I don't pay attention.
So there's not much for him to do.
Yeah.
In the book though, he goes separately. He and Osha go separately from Bran and Jojen and Meera.
And Hodor. Yeah.
Hodor. Wes hasn't said it once this season.
Yeah, he did when he woke up. When Caesar Boy was tripping out, he woke up.
Goes Hodor.
I couldn't be less interested in anything having to do with Bran, Jojen Reed, and the Three-Eyed Crow. And I even know where they're going, and I'm not interested. At least I think haircut. I know where they're going. They changed. Yesterday was the first episode they had kind of a significant change from the novels with Gendry and the whole Melisandre meeting with.
That was interesting.
What's his name? Tyros of Myr or whatever.
Yeah, the Red Priest dude.
Yeah, I'm like, wait a minute. And why isn't Melisandre got naked yet?
She did. Well, in season two.
Well, yeah, no, but
it wasn't sexy because she was pregnant.
Well, she got naked in like the very first episode.
You're terrible.
Not to take anything away from pregnant women, you're beautiful. But
uptown all the way.
But when I'm watching it on my nice HD TV, I'm not a fan.
Well, she wasn't pregnant the first time. It was when her and Stannis conceived the child. She got naked then.
I'm gonna make that a soundbite, and then if and when Lynn gets pregnant, I'm gonna play that back for her.
All pregnant women are beautiful. I just don't want to see big old HD versions of them on my TV. That's all.
Here.
That's all I'm saying.
You put that up a petition, Justin. I'll sign it.
Okay. You're signing it. We're all signing it.
Guy, nice camper.
Yeah. So then we had that. The hell's his name? Tywin Lannister and the Queen of Thorns. They had a really nice back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
Finally, someone put her in her place.
Yeah, Lady Olena. I want to say her name is.
Yeah.
I wanted her to have the upper hand. I wanted someone with the upper hand over Tywin, but no one ever does.
Yeah, Tywin's a man.
Yeah. Well, she got the upper hand on Tyrion, so she couldn't have it on both of them. Tyrion is pretty good.
Yeah, I guess she can't be, like, all powerful or whatever. But then Tywin is. But, I don't know, he's, like, a totally different character, though.
He's so good.
He's just, like, cold.
Yeah.
As ice.
I think that they need to have... There's one part that I'm looking forward to where Tywin kind of puts Joffrey in his place.
Oh, God, I can't wait for that.
Yeah.
Oh, I want him to, like, kick Joffrey to the curb.
Right. Joffrey's like, I'm the king!
Yeah. It's like, motherfuckers.
Yeah,
you
I was...
walk all over your mom, but I'm your granddaddy, fool.
Yeah.
I've been reading up through the books again, because I can't remember who anybody is to save my life. And... I got to the part when Joffrey just like goes toe to toe with Tywin, and it's just like a little baby. He's like, I'm the king. I can do whatever I want. And Tywin just looks at him and he's like,
nope.
I think the king is overtired.
Yeah.
Maester Pycelle, why don't you give him some dream wine and put him to bed now?
And Pycelle doesn't even, like, flinch. He's like, okay.
Like, yes, you're in charge. Yes, my lord. Right away, my lord. Don't kill me, my lord.
Yeah, I hate that son of a bitch.
I haven't seen much of him.
Good. I can't stand him. His character drives me nutso. I did think the ending was the coolest part of the whole episode. With the music playing and Varys and Littlefinger going at it. Mm-hmm. And I genuinely believe that Varys wants to do what's best for the realm.
Yeah.
And, you know, he told that to Ned, too, when Ned's like, what is your deal, man? Remember when he was, like, rotting in his cell? He's like, what the hell is your problem?
He's like, well, and he gave him wine and...
Yeah, he gave him a chance. Like, you tell me what your plan is, and then we'll go from there. And when Ned said that, well, we gotta have Stannis be king, that's when Varys was like, nope.
That's nope, not gonna
You just
here's what we can do.
That was awesome.
But Ned was too honorable.
Yep.
Rigid.
And I thought that was cool too. How what's her name? Rose, the redheaded.
Oh yeah, that was sad.
It was sad, but I mean, she's not even in the book, so I didn't really care too much.
Yeah, it's true. So they could do whatever they wanted with her character, because she's not in the book.
Yeah, she's target practice.
But it was sad though, since I really liked her character and I liked that she was kind of sticking it to Baelish, but
nobody sticks it to Baelish.
Right, exactly.
And that's the lesson that you learn too.
Yeah, exactly. But I kind of would have wished she got a better send off, but at the same time I was like, well, she couldn't have gotten any other end than she did, because otherwise it would have ruined the whole reveal.
Yeah, and I think it would have been hard to watch, honestly, because Joffrey is just king of the creep outs when it comes to making you feel uncomfortable. And if he would have been like making her stand a certain way, or you know, turn around for me or something like that, you would just feel dirty and need to take a rape shower and then loading her up with arrows.
Like in that scene last season when Tyrion made the mistake of sending
the two prostitutes. Yeah, that was rough.
Rose was one of them, wasn't she?
Yeah, she was the one that was beating the other girl.
Yeah,
she should have just learned her lesson at that point and just been like, nope.
Well, you could tell she was really scared when she went to Varys. Like,
yeah.
Well, I could probably die if they finds out. But she took the gamble.
You know what? She slept with Theon. She got what she deserved.
Right.
Yeah. Does anybody care about him? Because I really don't.
Nope.
I care. I care that he's on my TV wasting time that could go to any of the Lannisters I care about.
Yeah, I just
got more Jaime.
Yeah, I don't know why they couldn't have just done the same thing in the books that, like, on the show, where we don't hear from Theon for, like, two books.
Just two seasons gone.
I don't care about him at all.
Any Greyjoy, for that matter. So maybe a Victarion, or whatever his name is.
Yeah, he's the badass one.
Yeah, the pirate. Scurvy Steve.
He's going to be cool. Assuming that he's even in the show, given their track record for changing shit around.
They've had to make some major cutbacks.
I see a Greyjoy heavy second half of the third season when it comes back next year.
Yeah.
As long as it's not Theon.
Interesting.
That was really weird to see Brienne in that dress. I was like,
what? Oh yeah,
this is not correct. the one thing I did want to say, you mentioned that the Melisandre meeting them was a change from the books, correct?
Correct.
What did you think of when she said the three eyes, the green, the blue, and the brown, all that, what's her face?
Well, I think the green is Cersei.
That's what I was thinking. Like, the blue was Joffrey, the green was Cersei, and the brown was the Hound.
Probably.
But I wasn't sure.
That was my guess.
You know what? Amanda asked me an interesting question today, and I think that you should ask these guys.
Oh.
The one about the Game of Thrones thing.
Oh, yeah. I was trying to think of hypothetical questions that we could talk about, and I came up with, if you could be any type of person in the entire Game of Thrones universe, what would, like, who or what would you be?
Joffrey. Like,
no, not like an actual character.
Oh.
Like.
A dragon. Like, rah.
I want to be Drago.
I want to be a whoremonger.
I'll be Baelish. He has all the whores.
Exactly.
He does have whores. Can I be one of Baelish's whores?
You can't.
You could. You'd probably die.
I don't know. I guess Podrick's got a big penis, though. Maybe I want to be Podrick.
Yeah, he's loaded.
The whores gave him the money back.
What, like a Lannister?
Anything.
Yeah, or a Dothraki, or...
I would want to be... I feel like Highgarden sounds like it's a really nice place, and I would really like to be there. But apparently I'm wrong.
No, man. It's similar. She was like, oh.
Oh, yeah. I was saying, I would want to be, like, one of those highborn ladies with all their nice clothes. But right. Then there's also the downside of that where you're, like, a hostage half the time.
I think, honestly, I just want to be Daenerys.
Oh, yeah.
She's pretty awesome. And she has nice clothes. I like her dress. It's pretty.
And you got three dragons.
Yeah, and she's got dragons, and she has now an entire army.
Yeah. Well, what if you couldn't be an actual character, but you had to be like, you could be like affiliated with Daenerys in some way, but imagine that you had to just pick a non-actual character.
Yeah.
Would you be like in the Night's Watch? Would you be one of those cool assassins like Jackie?
Yeah. What's that guy's name? The one that Arya had killed people? Jagaroha? I want to be that.
Gar? One of those guys? Whatever he is. Oh, is that what he is? Oh, I get it now!
Wait, he's a what?
I never made that connection until just now. The faceless.
Yeah.
That's what they do.
Change his face.
They change their face.
Well, I want to be one of those, because that would be awesome.
Mm-hmm. I can't believe I never got that until just now.
So silly.
Oh, man. Arya. She got to kill 3 people and paid nothing for it. Actually, it was like more like 4 or 5 people. That would have been like 5 lifetimes worth of wealth for other people. Mm-hmm. She got it for free.
Yeah, well, I think I'd probably want to do something in Highgarden. It's the nicest place, and it seems to be kind of out of the way. And all the people in Highgarden don't seem to want to cause too much trouble.
It sounds Lannister, like
they seem pretty chill.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like it's uphill, and I don't like climbing mountains.
You should go to the Wall.
Yeah, or the Vale.
Yeah.
I want to be a prison guard at the Vale.
I don't like heights.
What about you, Randy? What would you want to be?
Oh, Randy's Dothraki all the way.
I don't know. I'm going to stick by my whoremonger answer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Someone
He's got a lot of money. He's well respected, and he can get any tail that he wants.
Yeah.
Not that he ever does, but he could.
I'd actually want to be one of the Crannogmen. Crannogmen?
Those forest That'd people?
Be fun. Yeah, like one of the forest people.
Like talking about cutting people's COCKSs off?
Is that what they do?
They want to cut them off and feed them to a goat.
I think it sounds cool that their castle move. No, not like you.
Oh, not the hill people?
Like Mira and Jojen.
Oh, I would hill people.
I'm still laughing at the spelling bee over here.
You mean that I spelled the plural and then put the plural at the end of it?
COCKSs.
It just didn't seem right without the uzzes at the end.
Oh my goodness. Oh, I'm a hot little potato right now.
I thought you wanted to be a wildling for a second. Amanda. And I was like, wait, what?
No. Like, Mira, you know, I want to be like Mira and Jojen. Have some kind of wilderness powers or something.
Green dreams.
That'd be cool.
Then you have seizures. You gotta take big pills and drink lots of water.
And you have to live in the swamp.
Moving on. What's next?
I did.
I think Jess has a fun list.
A list?
I do.
Hear it.
Hold on. 15 original casting choices that would have ruined everything. And this is actually inspired by a friend of mine named Adam who gave us this topic to look at.
Not so bad.
The first one we have here is John Cusack was supposed to play Walter White in Breaking Bad.
What?
First I call bullshit. Ever. What?
That would have been... Ugh. Number two is Connelly. Jennifer Connelly was up for the main role of Veronica in Heathers instead of Winona Ryder.
Probably would have been exactly the same.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm looking at the picture that they have and it kind of looks eerily the same. Number three is Val Kilmer was almost Johnny Castle in Dirty Dancing.
That's nuts. I don't buy that for a second.
He no. could be well, pretty attractive.
Well, yeah, because this would have been around Top Gun time, so.
No, I agree that he was a very attractive young man and whatever.
How attractive, Justin?
Very attractive.
Like shirtless volleyball scene attractive?
Yeah, that's pretty hot, but I think that Patrick Swayze is perfect for that role. I couldn't see it as anybody else.
All right, number four is Molly Ringwald was supposed to play Vivian Ward in Pretty Woman instead of
that either.
Yeah, that's weird.
Has
mainly because
she
kind of
since she was 16.
She was in this really weird movie called The Office or Office Killer, and it was awful. But she looks really weird now, and I just. Couldn't see her as Pretty Woman.
Well, Pretty Woman, what was that? It was like in 1990, though, right?
Yeah, so she probably looked roughly the same then, but... All right, number five...
With a heart of gold.
Number five, Gwyneth Paltrow was supposed to play the roller girl in Boogie Nights.
I'd watch it.
It's a really good movie, and I don't even remember who the roller girl really was.
It was Heather Graham.
Heather Graham.
She got
yeah.
a lot.
Loads.
Which was cool.
Yeah, she did.
I was like 17 when that movie came out. And I was like, oh, Heather Graham, she's hot. But she was like 30 in 1997. She's actually older than you think.
Yeah.
I think she's like, was born in like 1948 or something.
She's still looks good in The Hangover.
She does. She's smoking hot in The Hangover.
She's going to be in Hangover 3.
I like Heather Graham.
For probably 5 seconds, but...
She was a Bowfinger, so that makes her cool no matter what.
That's true. Sleeping away to the top.
1970. So yeah, she's 43.
Yep, she's the same age as my mom.
Looking good, 43.
She is the magical age, yeah. She looks
I hope when I look 43, I'm as hot and smoking as she is.
When you look 43? Number six, this one would have been crazy. Nick Nolte was almost Han Solo.
What?
Yep.
Blasphemy.
No way.
They have his mugshot up with the awful Hawaiian shirt next to Han Solo, and it's hilarious.
Oh, with the crazy hair?
Yeah.
He's like hoagie religions and no good as a blaster on your side.
Oh,
boy.
Dude. I've changed.
That was my Nick Nolte. You're welcome. You're welcome, Internet.
It's good. I'm on a Nick Nolte just like craze right now. I can't get enough of that guy.
Yeah.
And I've totally just changed my tune. I used to not like him at all, and I watched Blue Chips on Saturday. That movie is awesome. I don't know if you guys have seen it, but
love Blue Chips.
It's so good.
With Shaquille and Anfernee.
Oh my God, Anfernee, exactly. Oh my God, I love that movie. It's so incredible, and it really got me thinking about. The NCAA and bribing players and I could talk about it forever and ever and ever, but Blue Chips, it's on Netflix. Do yourself a favor and watch it. Nick Nolte is amazing in that movie.
And Shaquille O'Neal's actually not bad.
Yeah, he's really good. It's funny that he's like 17 in that movie.
Yeah.
Well, he's like 50 playing a 17-year-old.
It almost makes up for Steel in Kazam.
Right.
I said all the kids.
Yeah.
Oh, Nick Nolte, Blue Chips. Check it out.
All right. Number 7 was O.J. Simpson was almost the Terminator.
He definitely would have killed at the role.
Oh!
Number 8 is Emily Blunt was supposed to be the Black Widow in the Avengers.
What?
Yep.
I don't even know who Emily Blunt is. Like, I know who she, I know she's in a movie. I know what movie she's in, but like, she just kind of blends in with all the. I know she just kind of blends
in with
like
that.
Every other girl that.
She was in Sunshine Cleaning.
Yeah.
Just kind of weird, funny movie.
Yeah. But she does not have the assets that Scarlett Johansson does.
Oh, and the reason that she wasn't the Black Widow is because of a scheduling conflict.
Huh.
Thank God what? For that.
So she was very close to being the Black Widow.
I bet she's happy about that.
Oh, that's so funny.
When you said she was in Looper, I had just recently watched Jumper again. I'm like, she was in Jumper? I just heard the purr part, I think.
Is she the main girl in Looper?
Yes.
The mom?
Mm-hmm.
The mom, yeah.
I like that movie.
I did too.
It's a good movie.
So, number 9.
God, we're still doing the list.
How many are
there? There's 15.
Okay.
We have 6 more to go. Nicolas Cage was almost Superman, but doesn't say which like Superman movie, but he was almost Superman at some point.
That
was
going to be a
pre-return.
Yeah. That was Superman, a bad right? idea.
It's the one that Kevin Smith wrote, and then Tim Burton rewrote and was going to direct.
And the suit is ridiculous. Looks
like yes.
a bag. Looks
yeah.
so bad.
Terrible.
It's got that dumb hair.
Long.
God, it's so bad.
Like post-Con Air.
That movie was being tossed around when The Ride opened up at Magic Mountain.
Yeah.
That was that era.
Mm-hmm. Bad.
Mid-90s, I guess.
Muy bad.
Michelle Pfeiffer was almost Clarice Starling in Silence of the Lambs.
That better be just as good.
Yeah, that probably would have been fine.
Yeah. But she apparently said the story was too creepy, so she wouldn't do it.
It is pretty creepy.
Really, it's about a cannibal.
Right. Moths, guy wearing a face.
Number 11 is Robin Williams was almost Jack Torrance in The Shining.
Whoa.
But he said it was too psychotic.
Too what?
Too what?
Too psychotic.
Oh.
This is at the height of his cocaine use.
Again, why? I don't... It's a horror movie. Somebody who goes crazy and kills his family. I don't understand why they even would have entertained the aspect of that.
He played a pretty good bad guy in that one-hour photo movie.
Yeah. I like that movie.
He was awful. I mean, awful in a good way, but I mean, he was just... I didn't like it at all.
What was that movie?
One hour photo.
What happened in that movie?
He was like developing photos for like a...
Oh, right!
And then
yeah.
was cheating on the wife.
And he was like, because he was crazy, he was like all invested in them and...
Yeah.
Number 12, John Travolta was almost Forrest Gump.
No way!
But this was at like the height of John Travolta like comeback though, so it would have
not
been so
necessarily because Forrest Gump came out in 1994 and Pulp Fiction was in 1994, so the comeback hadn't really started yet.
I couldn't even, especially going from Pulp Fiction to that, or from going from to Forrest Gump to Pulp Fiction would have been.
They were both up for Academy Awards, see?
Right?
Yeah. Well,
Pulp
I'm
Fiction
glad he
probably
chose Pulp
Fiction. I would say Forrest Gump was the third best movie of that race.
What? Oh, Shawshank was saying it too, right?
Yeah, I would go Shawshank, Fiction, Gump.
Yeah.
Yeah, Shawshank definitely should have won.
That's a pretty cool movie.
Number 13, Eric Stoltz was supposed to be Marty McFly in Back to the Future.
And he was for
Randy's
a little
while. Favorite.
Yeah, they filmed most of the movie, didn't they?
Yeah, they filmed a bunch. They had to recast Jennifer like 3 times. Poor girl. Well, they had the original girl, and like she didn't have any chemistry with Stoltz, so they fired her, and they got another girl. But then that girl was too tall for Michael J. Fox, and they had to fire her. And that's when they got Elizabeth Shue, or not Elizabeth Shue, the original broad. And then they fired her for Elizabeth Shue. It's a cursed role, man.
It is. That's nuts. I hope that they never remake those movies.
It will.
I didn't even think about it until Randy brought it up one time. About it being like...
That'd be a sad, sad day.
Trilogy. That would be a sad, sad day.
Yeah. It's just too cool.
All right. The next one is really interesting. Number 14, Will Smith was almost in The Matrix.
Really?
Apparently. But he decided to go with Wild Wild West instead.
Oh, dang.
Nice.
Good call. It's funny, his wife ended up in the sequels in 2 and 3. Jada Pinkett.
Oh, yeah.
I guess she really wanted to. She really tried to talk him into doing The Matrix, but I guess I doubt he got it. He passes on a lot of films. He passed on Django. And...
Yeah, he said that he wasn't the main character.
Yeah, I guess if you're Will Smith, you know, making Will Smith money, you can be in whatever.
Yeah, he said that he didn't get enough screen time.
What's that? What's the name of that movie that he and his son are going to be in?
That's kind of
After Earth.
You're talking about the M. Night Shyamalan film?
Is that M. Night Shyamalan?
Yeah.
Is it really?
It totally changes my opinion of it now.
But it was
a twist.
No, it was completely written before they even hired. Like, I guess Will Smith and M. Night Shyamalan are like friends.
Mm-hmm.
And so he showed M. Night Shyamalan the draft that they were going to shoot. And like he said, oh, well, maybe you want to try this, this, or this. And Will Smith's like, no, I think it's okay the way and then, like, 6 months later, they hired him to direct it. So, we'll see.
That was probably a good decision. Because it would have been, like, After Earth, but it's not really Earth.
Oh,
or something dumb.
What a twist.
They'll pull, like, a Planet of the Apes and be like, and there's the Statue of Liberty. Ta-da.
Yeah, see, I wonder if that's scary for a studio. Like, they have to know that there's some kind of backlash putting M. Night Shyamalan's name on something. People are just kind of over him.
Right.
And I would think that that would be a bit of a gamble as far as a big budget film goes.
Yeah, well, I think that's like a lot of
reactions.
Yeah, if you watch like the trailers and stuff, like M. Night Shyamalan's name isn't on it at all. Like my mother wouldn't know that M. Night Shyamalan was directing it. She would know Will Smith's in it.
Right.
And so that's the draw.
But now, if I'm M. Night Shyamalan, am I upset about that?
Depends how much money the movie makes.
Yeah, I guess so.
I mean, if it makes a ton of money, then you're like, okay, I'm rich. If it bombs, you can say, well, you know, you should have banked it on me. I'm a good director.
Yeah.
And then he'll have a movie next, you know, month, and it'll be awful, and we'll be back where we started.
He's like, I made The Sixth Sense.
Yeah, years ago.
Yeah. 1996?
No.
Oh, my gosh.
It was like it was like 98 or 99.
Was it 98 or 99?
I remember I was with the psycho at the time.
Yeah, it's 99. I remember because we had this fight. We every so often we'll have a fight with Randy about The Mummy being the best movie of 99.
Because it clearly was.
Shut up.
It's pretty good. It's definitely cool.
But it's not Matrix good or South Park Bigger, Longer, Uncut good or Fight Club good.
Or Wild Green. Wild West good.
Yeah. Phantom Menace good, Office Space good.
Phantom Menace good.
Shut up! Don't ruin the form. I'm on your side, Justin.
Oh, I like Phantom Menace until they get in that underwater submarine thing and all the different fish attack each other, and then
there's always a bigger fish.
And I don't like how Qui-Gon and Obi-Wan run really fast at times.
Right.
They have this Jedi speed burst, but they don't use it.
Galaxy Quest came out in 99.
They don't use it when they're running from Darth Maul.
Dogma came out in 99.
They only run fast when it's blasting.
You're just not going to let me change the subject?
I remember I saw that movie in theaters, and I remember being really upset when Qui-Gon Jinn got cut.
Austin Powers is out that year.
No. Maybe the second one was.
That's what I mean. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Because the trailer.
Yeah, so I was with Psycho Girl when that one came out, too.
Yeah.
Of all the ones you listed, I would say Fight Club was the best one out of all of them.
Ooh, that was a good one.
All right, so number 15, just to finish off this list.
Oh, damn it.
Done yet?
Matthew McConaughey was almost Jack Dawson in Titanic.
Oh, dang.
What?
Which I think I...
Probably would have been the same movie. Whatever.
No. Yeah. Leonardo DiCaprio is Jack Dawson.
I mean, he's much, much better, but I don't think it would have changed it dramatically.
All films should be Leonardo DiCaprio films. All films.
He's okay.
I thought Leo looked But he's kind of young. Like, they seem like kind of young kids in that movie.
They're supposed to be. Like, I think Jack's only supposed to be, like, 18 or something, and she's supposed to be, like, 17 or 18.
Matthew McConaughey looks like that guy that hangs out at the high school at lunchtime.
High schools all day.
That older guy, you know what I mean? It's like hanging out outside the fence. He just looks older.
Probably in, like, an IROC or Camaro.
Yeah, T-top.
Maybe with, like, a bird painted on the hood.
Yeah, the denim vest.
Definitely smoking.
Well, we have some Twitter questions. Do you guys want
to? I would love to.
Yay!
All right. This comes from Donna the Dead via Twitter. Let's see. At Geek Legacy, the African-American Johnny Storm debate debacle. Should race be an issue in comic book movies? Question mark.
Absolutely.
Do we all?
What is she called?
I just wanted to jump into it.
She's calling the idea that they're toying with the idea of casting an African-American for the role of Johnny Storm in the Fantastic Four. And she's saying, should race be an issue in comic book movies?
This was already an issue with Spider-Man when people jokingly suggested that Donald Glover should be Spider-Man. And there was this huge, like, internet hissy fit saying that Spider-Man can't be black. And, like, Donald Glover wasn't really ever up to be Spider-Man, but...
Well, Chris Rock wanted to be Spider-Man, too. Like, in the very, very early days of James Cameron doing Spider-Man, Chris Rock wanted to be Spider-Man.
Well, in that case, Chris Rock's too old.
I think they had the same kind... It's not a comic book movie, but with The Hunger Games, because... what's the little girl's name?
Rue.
Because she was never really... They never really explained that Rue or any of the people from where she's from were black, and then all of a sudden she was on the screen and everybody
like the only description is that she has like darker skin, but that's not like
you could just
it's
be
not
tan.
Very explicit at all. Yeah,
right. I but read for whatever reason I read
out about it.
Yeah, I read her as black though, and same with the other guy, the makeup artist guy, the one that dolls her up.
Cinna,
yeah, I read him as black, too. And everyone was freaking Lenny out over Kravitz. Lenny Kravitz.
Yeah, I read them both as black. But Michael B. Jordan is the guy that they're trying to get to be the Fantastic, to be Johnny Storm.
Mm-hmm.
He was in Chronicle.
Chronicle, right?
Yeah, he was in Red Tails, too.
I mean, honestly, whoever can play the role the best, whether, you know, they're black or white, should get the part.
Yeah, I don't really care. But I'm not a huge comic book person, so I don't really give a crap.
Yeah, I know nothing about the Fantastic Four.
I would think that since they're rebooting it, it doesn't really matter. But they would probably have some kind of adoption scenario if Sue Storm is white or whatever. But I don't know. I don't care. It doesn't matter to me.
Or well, just we, like never address it?
Can you flip it? Can like Black Panther be white?
Right.
I mean, can the other? I mean.
I know, right?
I don't have a problem with it. I have more problem if they get like a crummy actor, but you know,
Michael
is good because he was in Friday Night Lights, and I think he's amazing. But I mean, I would be more mad if it was like stunt casting, like they got Will Smith to be him or something like that. If they got someone good, I don't really care. I think the bigger uproar would be is if they cast, you know, an iconic minority character as a white character. I think that would be the real hubbubaloo.
Problem.
Right. I mean, like, if Thing was not orange, I mean, people would be like, oh, what the
hell? Hulk was not green.
Yeah, Hulk's... Maybe the Hulk will be Red Hulk. Everyone loves Red Hulk.
I do. I think Red Hulk is the most amazing thing on the planet.
I think that all red superheroes are probably the best.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And Red She-Hulk, Red Tornado.
So...
Red Skull.
Randy, do you care if Johnny Storm is black?
No, it makes no difference to me already. I there are a couple comments just kind of sitting on my tongue that are going to stay there, I think. But
yeah,
right, I'm right there with you, Randy.
Yeah. But I mean, it really doesn't make a difference to me.
No.
Well, what if they tried to... What if they wanted to be cute and they wanted to make all the Fantastic Four black? Like, so
Is it going to be a Tyler Perry movie?
I know, as long as it's not a Tyler Perry movie, I'm fine with that, too.
Yeah, at that point, I have a problem, because then they're just trying to, like, be exploitive about it, I would think.
Yeah.
Like, I'm fine if the best person gets the part, as long as, you know, He fits who Johnny Storm is. If he's a cocky, little young pain in the ass, like, you know, Chris Evans was before he got all, like, Jimmy, Captain America strong. As long as it goes to a good person, I don't care.
Here, here.
Well, I mean, are they, like, what's the reasoning? Like, are they just, like, they have an actor who they think is good for the role because they think he's good for the role, or are they trying to make it
black and not white? I don't think they're specifically trying to make Johnny Storm black. I think that they're toying with the idea of casting Michael B. Jordan as...
Because he's the actor they think is good to play him.
Exactly, yeah.
Oh, well, then I don't see a problem with it at all. It, like, with the original Night of the Living Dead, the character was written... The main character was written as, actually, with no race. And they just happened to pick... his name escapes me now, but they just happened to pick a black actor because he was the best that came to the audition and, you know, auditioned and he did the best, so they picked him. And then it turned into a giant social commentary and people threw a fit about it. But I think if you pick a good actor based on their acting ability, then it shouldn't matter.
100%.
You would think so.
Yeah. People go crazy, though.
People have very strong opinions about lots of things.
Yes, they do.
Well, people who are passionate about, like, books or comics or games, like...
If you change one single thing, everybody freaks out.
Right, but, I mean, if you're not going to change anything, why make it? Right. I mean,
yeah, that's true.
You might as well just read the comic or read the book. Like, that was the big thing with Harry Potter was, you know, we can't film everything in Harry Potter, so they have to make changes. And then, you know what? I enjoy the books for what they are, and I enjoy the movies for what they are. And I love them both, but they're different.
Well, it's like getting a different take on something you really love. So you're getting two versions of something you really like.
Yeah.
It's like when your parents divorce and you have two Christmases.
Yeah. Or 16 days of Hanukkah.
Yeah.
No one ever talks about that one. That's the real money pot. Imagine 16 days of presents goes all the way to like October.
We celebrated Armenian Christmas when we were kids. So we'd have we'd have regular Christmas and then Armenian Christmas.
What?
What's the difference?
Why didn't we do this?
Because you're Japanese.
God damn it.
You could have had Armenian, dad. Japanese, and American Christmas. You could have
blame my dad.
Armenese don't count.
Robbed me of Armenian Christmas.
What's Armenian Christmas?
It's January 6th.
Oh.
It took a couple days for a word to reach Armenia that Jesus was born. So they celebrate it on the 6th. They didn't have email yet.
Actually, I know why my parents didn't do this now.
They had to buy more presents?
Because my dad's birthday is the 1st. So I doubt that they wanted to... I doubt that my mom wanted to deal with buying all of us presents for Christmas and then buying my dad presents for his birthday and then buying us more presents for Armenian Christmas.
Well, we just got one thing. And most of the time it was something silly.
Like a dreidel?
Yeah, not quite. It was never anything like amazing, but it was still fun to get something.
Got like that bread they bake in Mexico where they put the baby Jesus in it?
Mm-hmm. Something like that. Yeah, Amanda, your father was like the first baby born in Merced County.
Yeah.
That's kind of cool.
I think they got a camera.
He's got a legacy.
Like you can eat for free anywhere now. Yeah. In Merced County. You don't pay for your waffles.
That's so cool. I would probably brag about that if it were me, because that's just who I am.
Probably like a bumper sticker, like a Merced BB1.
Yeah,
like MRCD BB1.
Oh my god!
Make it happen. Father's Day is coming up.
I haven't done anything amazing, so I would have to brag. I would brag if I got 17th place in an air guitar contest. I would tell everyone.
I mean, you are executive editor on a pretty sweet website. I mean,
that's true.
That's something.
But I mean, I've never won like a prize. I've never been recognized for being amazing.
Well, you are an amazing contributor and editor to the website, and I'd like to present you with this award.
Maybe like Employee of the Month.
Yeah, that's it. Justin, you are Employee of the Month for the month of May. All May, you get to park in the preferred parking.
I like it.
And you get final call on who goes and who stays. I hope I get to stay.
Oh, I can't have that problem. With great power comes great responsibility, and I am an irresponsible person.
True dat.
I mean, we only did it one time, and never mind.
What was the? You said we had two questions.
We do. I gotta find the. Oh, let's see. The other one comes from @blogamama. Let's see. X-Men First Class was considered a reboot, I think. I guess it could have been a prequel. I'm not sure. But if it was a reboot, what is X-Men Days of Future Past? You know, since it looks like they're bringing back most, if not all, of the old cast. Lame question, I know, but I thought it might be worth the conversation.
Alternate reality.
Yes.
Just like Star Trek.
I never saw... Yeah.
Days of Future Past is a possible future.
I'm bringing... Mm-hmm. Bringing Patrick Stewart in at the end of the last one, if there wasn't anything else. Well, and there was
they didn't
freaking
bring
Wolverine was in it, and how many other random cameos were there
the movies together? You're thinking Patrick Stewart was in Wolverine Origins.
Is that what I was thinking?
Yeah, he wasn't in First Class.
Mm.
See, I always think he was in First Class, too.
Yeah, it was Wolverine Origins where they, like, de-aged him.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was, like, really bad CGI.
Yeah, but that's silly because Patrick Stewart doesn't age. Yeah.
You didn't even see him in Wolverine, I thought. Yeah, or you saw him from, like, far away.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah, you see him pretty prominently. He's the one who saves, like, Emma Stone and all of them. Or Emma Stone, Emma Frost. But nothing can save Emma Stone.
But just to clarify, X-Men First Class was more of a prequel.
That's how I would say, yeah, it's a prequel.
Especially since they used basically the same footage from the opening of X-Men with... Magneto being taken from his parents.
Yeah, and I would say First Class is a prequel to the original trilogy, and I would say Days of Future Past is going to be both a sequel to First Class with the parts with Fassbender and McAvoy, and that everything in the future is like an alternate timeline. So it's both a sequel and an alternate timeline.
Yes.
A what could be.
And that is what it is.
Did you guys like First Class?
I did.
Yeah.
I'm a fan.
I like Michael Fassbender.
I like Michael Fassbender, too.
I like it when he stabbed the guy and threw the knife at another guy, then pulled it back, and then stabbed the guy again. I thought that was...
Yeah. But he's not messing around.
I was like, I was a fan of Magneto.
What, the new Wolverine movie, what timeline is that fitting in? Is that supposed to be after...
After Last Stand.
Okay. Because I know the flashback with Jean Grey, and then I was like, but I'm confused. I don't know where I am. Probably because I haven't watched those movies, and probably since they came out.
It's post-Last Stands.
Okay.
And it's going to be awesome.
It looks pretty awesome.
Yeah. I think it will be great.
Thank you both, @BlockaMama and @DawnOfTheDead. Those are both great questions. Glad we were able to answer them on the podcast, and we will send you something special. You'll like it, I promise.
You better.
Woo!
Yeah. Huh? Awesome. We got a fun game. What's our fun game?
Oh, we do have a fun game for everybody. Everyone's going to enjoy it. It's going to test your knowledge of Michael Bay films. Everybody loves Michael Bay. It's been in the news a lot lately. He's, Pain and Gain came out. It's the number one movie before Iron Man. Just mopped the floor with it this week. And, he's been out publicly apologizing for Armageddon. He's been coming out saying that he was too unfair to Megan Fox. You know, he's kind of been all over the place. So my fun game is I'm going to give you a tagline, and you tell me what Michael Bay film it is.
Cool.
Easy as that. I'm gonna start off just so you can see how it works. I'll give you the gimme, and how it's gonna work is I say the tagline, and whoever says their name first, they get to answer first. Answer wrong, they don't get to answer again. All right. So the first one, Alcatraz. Only one man has ever broken out. Now 5 million lives depend on two men breaking in.
Justin.
That was the gimme.
I know, but I just want to say it.
What?
It's The Rock.
Hey, how'd you know?
Because it was the gimme.
You're smart. All right. Okay, here, now the game's for real. So at any time, go ahead and chime in. No, you don't have to wait until I'm done. Question number one, or tagline number one. Their American dream is bigger than yours.
What?
Amanda.
Okay, Amanda.
Pain and Gain.
Pain and Gain. And it's on the board. All right, you got to be quick on this one. Number two, what you gonna do?
Justin.
Yeah.
Bad Boys.
There you go. Number three, The Battle for Earth Begins in Theaters.
Amanda.
In
Jess.
All right, Amanda first.
Oh, crap.
I psyched her out.
Three.
Battlefield Earth?
Yes, your turn.
Transformers?
Which one?
The first one?
No.
Nope.
Oh. Damn it.
I'll take the second one.
It was the second one. Okay. Good job.
Okay. Picking up the scraps.
All right. Next one. Your time will come.
Justin?
Yep.
The Island?
That's it.
Uh-oh.
Ding, ding, ding.
All right, next. It takes a moment to change history. It takes love to change lives.
Jess. Justin.
I heard Jess first.
Jess is first.
Armageddon.
Nope.
Justin.
Pearl Harbor.
Oh, I forgot that movie existed.
Wait, what was the tagline again?
It takes a moment to change history. It takes love to change lives.
What? Stupid.
Next one. Their War, Our World.
Justin.
Yes, Justin?
Transformers.
Which one?
Dark of the Moon?
Oh.
Oh, that's the first one then. Whoever Amanda. Wants to guess, it's a gimme.
Yes, Amanda.
The first Transformers movie.
There you go. How'd you know? All right, next. It's Closer Than You Think.
Jess.
Yep, Jess.
Armageddon.
There you go, Armageddon.
Yay!
It's on four now. All right, next. Earth Goes Dark.
Justin.
Yep.
That's Transformers Dark of the Moon.
There you go. All right, and last but not least, We Ride Together.
Justin. Bad Boys 2.
Bad Boys 2. All right. Justin is the winner with 5. Amanda had 2. Randy and Jess, well, better luck next time.
That's all right. I'm not upset about not being a Michael Bay expert.
Michael Bay is an American treasure. If aliens were to come, I hope he would be protected.
He's got historical documents.
How do you go? Amazing talent. Hope to have him on the podcast one day.
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, call.
Get him on the phone.
I don't have his number. You have his number?
Just a Michael Bay's phone number.
Yeah, it's on here somewhere.
It's a little speed dial.
We're famous.
Internet.
We're on
famous.
IMDb.
He's my 911.
He's your emergency contact? Like, in case of emergency, call Michael
Bay. We're going to have Michael Bay on the podcast next week.
1-800-SPLOSIONS.
You heard it here, folks.
World exclusive.
He will be here to talk about Ninja Turtles and Armageddon.
And Transformers 4.
Transformers 4.
About casting Kelsey Grammer as the villain.
Like, for real?
Yeah, Kelsey Grammer is going to be the human villain in Transformers 4.
He's not going to be a robot that turns into Kelsey Grammer.
Yeah. Turns into Frasier. Yeah, that's all I got. Anyone else got anything else? Anyone do anything fun this week? Or weekend?
Nope.
I saw Iron Man. That's about it. Well, I saw it at the midnight, but nope.
Mm-mm.
We all leave.
I watched Over the Top.
Oh, yeah? Well, that's noteworthy.
I watched Blue Chips and Over the Top.
That's like my dream double feature. Like, if it was my birthday, I'd hope that was playing at the theaters. The Cinemaplex, if you will. That and Wrath of Khan.
I couldn't believe how awesome that movie was. I haven't seen it in a while.
Which one, Blue Chips?
Well, both. Over the Top and Blue Chips. I hadn't seen Blue Chips since I was in high school. And I hadn't seen Over the Top in, like, 3 weeks.
I'm excited that you liked Blue Chips. I thought I was the only one in the world who liked that movie.
Oh, no, that movie's so awesome. I love sports movies. Sports movies are amazing.
Yeah. I like it. A lot. Makes you think.
Yeah. Makes you think how horribly corrupt the NCAA is.
Oh, it's terrible. Terrible, I tell you. It's a whole other podcast.
Yeah.
Maybe Michael Bay will talk about it next week when he's on.
Yeah. Well, great. We all done?
I think we're done. Take us out, Justin. Okay. Do it. Shout it out.
Well, that does it for this week's podcast. Thanks for joining us. It's always a pleasure. Please like us on Facebook and follow us on the Twitter there at Geek Legacy. You can tune into our other podcasts we have on the site. There is the Pixelated Podcast, which is hosted by Stephen Janes, and it's all about video games. And we also have the Comic Corner podcast, which is hosted by Tyler and Jeff, and they review comic books currently on their pull list. Remember to visit geeklegacy.com for all your geek news and reviews. Thanks for listening, and have a fabulous day. Thank you.